it does bring up a whole piece around identity. And okay, so if I'm not doing all the things, and I'm I'm not hustling at work, I'm not on constantly on the edge of burnout, I'm not looking after everybody and doing everything they need before they even know they need it, who am I? And that.
Welcome to Finding Your Spark Again podcast. I am so glad that we are doing this again today, because every chance we have to really tap in, to get the nuances of how we can tap in, is really going to help us get to the next level. So today I have with me Philippa Robinson talking about how looking within to find that true spark creates a better world. So that's a really great topic for us to talk about in terms of like the big picture. And I cannot wait to hear from you, Philippa.
Hi, Donalyn.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I took a look at your website, which we will, of course, link up for everybody. And, you know, we really are talking about some of the very same things: how to find that joy, what to do with it when we find it, how to find it repetitively, how to make sure that it's part of our world. And then, as you've put forth in this topic, how to make it part of our bigger world. So give us a little introduction to your world on that topic.
So where I am now all started 5 years ago. I had a major scare with one of my eyes, and it started a real unraveling. I went from, I had a successful legal career, I'm married, I've got teenage boys, live in a nice place in Bristol, in the UK. So I've ticked all the boxes that society tells me I should tick, and yet I'm feeling pretty dead inside, really, really numb, I'd say. And the thing that happened with my eye sent me catapulting off into this downward spiral, where I really had to understand that, or I came to understand that my life up until that date had really been about pleasing other people, about being nice, about being kind, and helping other people, even doing what they need before they've even realized they need it, that sort of ultimate real people pleaser, which goes back to my childhood trauma, and that was my coping strategy. But when I realized that is what my self-worth was pinned on, and I really genuinely believed that I could lose the sight in both my eyes, that my whole world as it was came crumbling down around my feet. So it seemed like the worst thing ever. And I had no idea how that was going to pan out. Where do I go from here? But that has led to the last 5 years of the personal development work, the therapy, all the stuff I've done in the last 5 years. And now here I am talking to you about joy and how to find joy in everyday moments. And actually, on the outside, I don't look that different, apart from the long hair. That's what the pandemic did for me. No hairdresser. But to all intents and purposes, I'm very, very different.
So interesting how we can be the same and very, very different all at once.
Yeah, my inner landscape is just, beyond all recognition to me. And it's not even back to a place it used to be, I don't think. It's in a place it's never been before.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about that. It's in a place that is more desirable to you than it's ever been before.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's in a place that I thought is beyond my wildest dreams, really, because growing up, I very much felt that there was something wrong with me, or that I was broken, and that my experience of life was just, everything was hard and there was no joy, really. And I couldn't understand why everybody around me seemed Well, I was going to say everybody seemed so happy. I probably didn't even look that deep because, you know, I know that's not the case. But everybody seemed to be having a much better time than me. And, you know, the time I spent in therapy, the 3 years I had in therapy, really helped me to understand the impact that my childhood had had. And, you know, I know it's a cliche, it all starts in childhood, but it kind of does. You know, when I grew up with an alcoholic mother, and in order to try and get my mother's love, I just became the, you know, a people pleaser and put all my needs, all my wants, everything that was could have been dear to me, completely tossed it over my shoulder and, you know, didn't pay any attention to it.
Yeah, how we absorb things when we're children is at a very different pace and intensity than when we're adults. You know, I know there are memories from my past that fortunately I've had the ability to go back to and sort of understand in terms of how traumatic they were or were not, right? To decharge them for myself. But when I think about them, and the words are all true that I, you know, they were all true that stuff happened. And if you say it out loud, it sounds bad, you know, but that decharging process is so important for us to be okay now, even though it feels like that's in the past, it's actually being dragged along with us in our everyday experience. Like you said, in the people pleasing, in the ways that we behave with other people.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I always used to say, oh yeah, I had a pretty rubbish childhood, but that was then. And, you know, I'm kind of, you know, that's behind me. Mm-hmm. So I kind of had an idea that it wasn't great, but I really had no idea how much it was still driving my adult behavior. You know, and I was 47 at this stage, so, you know, I didn't really know about personal development. I didn't, you know, here in the UK we're a bit behind you guys anyway, but you know, we just get on with it. You know, you don't talk about it, you don't talk about your feelings. And
well, it's quite British, isn't it?
Yeah, very British.
I mean, compared to Americans, I have a nephew who's American and has lived in the UK for, I don't know, 20 years or something now. So he's, and in some formative years, right? He went to college there and got his PhD, teaches, you know, does everything. Yeah. And so his life is there, right? And he's still to this day says to me, it's not the same culture as you think it is. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's very much very tight. And certainly, so, you know, me, I'm in my early 50s. So my mother was born just after the war. So, you know, her parents fought in the war. So she was brought up post-war during all, you know, everything that entailed, all the trauma, I suppose, that came with that, and all the rationing and everything that came with that. So I've absorbed all that right. From them. That is the way we were brought up. You know, you're lucky to be alive, so just get on with it. Mm. So, you know, I did just get on with it. So I didn't really know any different. I didn't know things could be different.
It's interesting because patches, right? What you're talking about for me translates to the idea of putting a patch on something, right? And patches will take you a long way, but eventually they are not as strong as fabric, right? They're gonna fall off. So those patches that we've sort of put on and then adapted, there's a doctor called Dr. Salye who invented a scale. He saw the world in a certain way. And the way he described the body's responses to problems, right, to real stressors, was to be in alarm, right, which is the appropriate reaction to something that is not okay. Then to, if you ignore it, to go into adaptation. And if you ignore that, to go into exhaustion. And, you know, to me, I feel like there's that same patch idea behind the Salye scale. Is like, if you don't deal with this eventually, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a real problem.
Yeah, I always say it comes back to bite you eventually, unless you find a serious way to carry on numbing it, you know, and that's what I'm pretty sure, you know, my mum was an alcoholic and she was definitely, now I appreciate that she was numbing pain. She's not here anymore. She died a few years ago. But that's what she was doing. And I sought comfort in food. That was my addiction, I suppose, of choice. But that's not as unacceptable as, it is once you get to the size that society tells you you shouldn't be, but that's a whole other story. But, you know, I was adamant I wasn't going to be an alcoholic, and I wasn't an alcoholic. But people pleasing, food, you know, I have found ways to numb things over the years, until 5 years ago, the pressure of keeping it all down, it just blew.
So let's talk about that
yep.
space between, like, here we are, we're in this space where we think everything's okay. It's not really okay underneath, but the volcano erupts. So many of us have been there, you know, where we come to a tipping point and we say, that's it. I am unwilling to put up with the life that I built. And now I have to change it. So what was that process like for you in terms of finding happiness?
Well, it's interesting you say I'm unwilling to live like that anymore, because I'm not sure I got, I think I did get to that stage, but it was more that I can't live like this anymore. I mean, I think if somebody had offered me a, here you are, you know, take this pill and you can carry on the way you were, I may well have taken it if I'd known what was to come. But now I know what's at the end of what was to come, I absolutely would not have taken that pill. I felt I had been getting really quite angry before I lost the sight in my eye. I was aware that I was getting more and more angry, and I was having some episodes of dissociation. So I'd be arguing with my husband, for instance, and I felt like I was standing to the side and watching what was going on. I didn't recognize it for what it was at the time. Everything that I talk about now is with the benefit of hindsight, but I knew I was getting more and more angry. And then when I lost the sight in my eye, I was just like, you know, I can't carry on like this. Something is going to have to change. And I did say to my husband one evening, I'm gonna have to get some help, otherwise I feel like I'm going to have to leave our family, because I was really concerned that my anger was going to really affect the kids. So it was on the back of that, I'm going to try anything, because it can't get any, I don't think it can get any worse than this. And that's when I found a therapist. I found a therapist who said she specialised in codependency, because I'd only just discovered codependency. And something kept me there. I didn't want to go. Well, I did want to go, but when I got there, I didn't want to stay. But some part of me that knew better kept me there. And it kept putting things in the way that meant I had to stay. So within a few months of starting therapy, I'd enrolled on a counselling foundation course. And one of the requirements of that Counselling Foundation course was that I was in therapy. So I had to stay in therapy. And I think the only point of that Counselling Foundation course now, looking back, was to keep me in therapy.
Yeah,
So there was always that bit in me. And when I wrote my story last year, and when I was writing all my life story down, I could see there were little moments. There were only little, but there was the odd moment over the year where something in me either made me make a certain decision, or told me things were going to be all right, or pointed me in a direction that perhaps I wouldn't have gone in otherwise. And, you know, that is what I now would call my spirit, my spark, my wise inner child. You know, that bit in me, there was something in me that knew there was something better for me.
I like that you bring up the looking within, and also that, you know, when you talked a little bit earlier in your story about that moment where you said, I am either going to have to do this or become willing to change. I think that's a really essential piece to an unsustainable lifestyle, right? We get ourselves in these patterns, are surrounded by circumstances that are unsustainable. And then, so our world is not the world that we want to live in. And then we have to become willing. And once we become willing, the doors open. The doors just keep opening, like you said, right? They just keep opening one after the other, as long as you're willing to look within, to follow them. I mean, they're there, they're open. But if you don't say, hey, I'm gonna take that course. Oh, look, it put me back in therapy. Look at that, right? If you don't take those little moments, those notice, those synchronicities and those openings that happen in your life and say, hey, I am still willing over and over and over every day, I am willing, then you don't get from where you are to where you're going. Now I'm just kind of free flowing here, but I will say that this is something that I have seen in my clients occasionally, where their problems are not from their desire to have something that they can't have, but from their inability at that moment to recognize that it takes willingness daily. It takes willingness repetitively. Yeah. 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 So I love that you're talking about this. Now, here you are, you're growing, you're becoming different, but you're married. Yeah. And you have children.
I do.
What did that happen? How did that happen? What was that like? Right? What
was it that was like? Messy.
It was messy. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Your willingness, right? Your world. Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I'd say my children, actually. So I've got two boys. They're now 14 and 16. So they were, you know, 9 and 11 when this happened. They've not been affected too much. In fact, they've got a much nicer, calmer mum now. So they are kind of quite happy. Although I kind of asked them to talk about how they're feeling about something and what do they know and are they sure and have they listened to their inner, you know. So I'm just really annoying, even more annoying now. But I'm much calmer and that's fine. My husband, on the other hand, you know, I've changed. He's not changed, I've changed. And, you know, he didn't sign up for this version of me, he signed up for the other version of me. So I'm not gonna lie, it's not been easy. It's not been super hard though either. It's just been different and it's been a challenge. But, you know, I have said to him on a few occasions over the last 5 years that I can't go back. You know, once you know and once you've grown, that you can't go back. So, you know, this is me now. I'm much happier. I'm much more content. I'm a lot easier to live with. You know, I'm not angry all the time.
Yeah, but not a caretaker any longer.
Well, no, and that's the thing now. I'm not looking after all their needs before they even realise they've got them. Things have changed, and I'm putting me first more than I have ever done. And we're still in a period of adjustment. But actually what's happened is we have realised that we got together in the first place really because we didn't challenge each other on an emotional level. We were both pretty shut off. So now I'm no longer like that. He's like, oh, okay. So actually he's having therapy now. So, yeah. You know, the ripple effect of doing this work, actually, you know, looking within and finding yourself, if that's not too much of a cliche, but other people do benefit.
Yeah, and I think this really brings in that piece about how are we changing the world, right? Because the world is changing. Our world changes quite drastically, and there's that ripple, right? And I love that you are honest about the fact that it's not easy, but that if we continue to be willing and we continue to do it, we continue in that direction of what lights me up? What is that spark? How can I leave spaces open for that spark that everybody else does adjust?
They do, and you make a very good point there, that in order to connect with that spark and keep connecting with that spark and that, you know, our core, our inner world, our inner self, slowing down a little bit, taking time out, taking, you know, stop all, rather than all this fast pace, go go go, do do do, just be a bit slower and listen. And you know, I now trust, you know, I'm much more in connection with my intuition and listen to it and connect with it. And for me, the whole point of doing this is that A, I'm much happier, but because I'm much kinder to myself, I have a lot of compassion for myself and how I ended up getting to where I was and how I've, you know, moved from there. So I'm much kinder to myself, and because I'm kinder to myself, I'm much happier, which allows me to be kinder to other people. And I, you know, and I think, you know, there's not enough kindness around, and I know that's a bit, you know, of a, you know, oh yeah, you know, pie in the sky dream, but actually, you know, a lot more kindness will go a long way to making the world a better place.
Yeah, I totally agree. Also, I like that idea that when we open a space, we allow other people to do their thing. So just the fact that your husband has said, hey, she's changing, and some amount of time later, he said, maybe I like it. Maybe I want that. Maybe that's something I want. And that's the way that we inspire people, when we're willing to stop doing all the things that we think are necessary, but are actually taking their space away from them, right? They're taking that ability for them to reach for joy in a certain way, right? Is there an agreement? Don't get me wrong. It's an agreement we make and people like it. And they say, yeah, you do the things. My husband was very much like you in that space of taking care of me before I even knew I had, you know, I would sort of move my shoulder like I was a little chilly, and he'd go over and change the temperature, you know, and I was like, wow, this is a world that is just constantly changing to adapt to me. But it also didn't give me the space to be able to make those choices for myself, which of course I did not realize until he wasn't here anymore, right? So, you know, I was very grateful for him and his way of being in that moment. But there's more space now. I make different choices. And that's how our whole world can change.
Yeah, it can. And it does bring up a whole piece around identity. And okay, so if I'm not doing all the things, and I'm, you know, I'm not hustling at work, I'm not on constantly on the edge of burnout, I'm not looking after everybody and doing everything they need before they even know they need it, who am I? And that was a whole piece around that. Who am I? What do I stand for? What do I stand against? What do I like? What do I want? What are my needs? You know, what boundaries do I need in place? All those lovely things that we talk about. And that has been a whole discovery, really. And in that, what brings me joy? Because in my very first therapy session, my therapist said to me, so what do you like to do? What do you do for you? And I literally had no idea. I was like, I sat there for a little while and I said, I have no idea. I've completely forgotten anything that I, and you know, I don't want to sound like a real martyr here, but I just didn't. Me having needs, me having wants and fulfilling those had not been something that actually crossed my mind since I was probably about 7. You know, that's when really my world had a massive, you know, implosion. And yeah, so it's been an amazing journey of discovery over the last 5 years, and also all about, you know, what does bring me joy, and taking time to notice those little things each day that I would have passed me by normally because I'd have been far too busy. You know, the smell of a really nice cup of coffee, or you know, the sun, just enjoying that moment of the sun on my face when I'm out walking the dog, or just those little moments that normally I would have paid no attention to, but now really give me a sense of deep inner joy.
Yeah, becoming present, being actually present for the moments that are passing in our lives is a space that joy can be found almost every time.
Yeah.
It's a reliable space, isn't it?
It is. And once you found it, now I found it, I don't want to let it go. So yeah, you're right.
That's right. And also, I find that being willing to prioritize it makes your whole world change. You know, I mean, I run a business and I've got a house that needs to be taken care of. And, you know, I got things, like everybody has things. But when I get myself into a position where I'm not in that moment, where I'm not willing to be fully present, instead I'm thinking, this is a pain. I wish I didn't have to do this. Why didn't so-and-so do this? Do I have to say this again? You know, there are all sorts of, like, you can really go down the road, right? You can really go down the road. And I have great people working with me, and it does not matter. You can still find things to complain about if you are trying, right? And, and then to say to myself, hey, I recognize that. I know what that is. That is me not here. That is me in the future and the past, and mashing them together in a way that does not serve me at all. And if I'm willing at that moment to go away for however long it takes, 30 seconds, an hour, whatever it takes, and become present, then that's a really different me that shows up.
Yeah. Yeah. So can I, what do you, I don't know, do you mind if I ask you a question? I was just going to say, No. So what are your go-tos in that situation?
Sometimes I do. Right. Sometimes I have like a do. Right. But a lot of the things that I like to do in terms of activity to feel better, I do beforehand. Right. So I don't, they're not a triage moment for me there. I love to meditate. I love to listen to music. I love to dance around the house. I love, you know, there's lots of really fun things. But when I'm in that space, I usually don't want to do any of those things, right? If I let myself get frustrated and into that space of like, I'm making choices that don't feel, this happened to me yesterday. I'm making choices that don't feel like they're in alignment with my larger goals. And yet here I am. Because this happens every day for everybody, right? It's not like, this is part of life, that we're going to get into those things where we think we're on our path, but we aren't 100% present because there's a lot of doing in our experience. And so if it's a real triage moment, I do have energy tools that I use where there's certain grounding tools and things like that. But quite often I say to myself, is it an emergency? Meaning, do I have to do it right now? And if it's not an emergency, what could I do at this moment that would just open some space up for me? And usually that looks like go for a walk, go for a drive, do an errand. Space is very important to me. So going and looking at something different often can shift my perspective. Go for a swim, right? Sometimes I'm not, it's like, no, I don't feel that good. Come on. I want to do this in 10 seconds. Come on, right? I don't want to take an hour to do this. Okay, fine, but it's going to take you longer.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So finding those things that you can do, that speak to you, to really tap yourself back in. To the body, I think the body is really a great indicator of where am I now. So even a simple breathing technique can bring me fully back into a moment. I have the great fortune of living with two feline beings that have blessed me for 16 years, and they are lovely. And so that's easy. You know, I can always go pet a cat.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And most of the time they don't mind at all. So how about you? Do you have go-tos that you use?
For me, I tend to, when I'm feeling overwhelmed, I get that knot in my stomach. And when my inner critic is getting a bit loud, I tend to know that I'm getting overwhelmed. So I will tend to go for, I'll either take my dog out or go on my own and just go for a little walk, and I will I will be able to feel that knot just going away. And by the time I come back, and maybe I'll have bumped into somebody, not, you know, not necessarily anybody I know, but just had a little connecting moment with somebody, that will have made a difference. So that, if I've got time, that is my go-to. That, or I've really this year got into swimming in a marine lake, a sea lake near my house. Well, it's about half an hour away, and I'm still doing it now. The water's getting cold, and I'm loving that. So that's my more to keep help keep me regulated on a daily basis. I was there this morning at 7 a.m. and it was just beautiful. I mean, you know, you've got the expanse of the sea. I'm swimming in this pool. The sun was out. It just ticks so many boxes for me. So that's what I tend to do on a regular basis to keep my system regulated. A walk if I've got time. And if I haven't and I just need something, it will either be, you know, put a song on and just, you know, shake my body, really, particularly my hands. I tend to find my hands get, the energy gets in my hands. Awesome breathing, some really deep breathing. I didn't know how to breathe until 5 years ago, and I was just shallow breathing in my chest all the time rather than really breathing deep down into my you know, into my belly. So yeah, those are my go-tos. I have an on-off relationship with yoga and an on-off relationship with meditation. I know they are both good for me, as is journaling.
I disagree. I don't think that any of the tools are good for you, good for anybody, if they're not enjoyable.
Yes.
I really think that if we reach for the thing that is the next most enjoyable thing for us, it may not look like our neighbor, right? This I have this on again, off again relationship with yoga, I gotta say. So you know, it's one of those things where I say to myself, is this something I want to reach for in this moment? Does it feel good to reach for that? And when it feels good, then I really like it. And it really does me a lot of good. So I think that individuality that if we're willing to really be us, to really be present and really make the choice that feels good. Sometimes it's eating an ice cream cone. Right? Sometimes it isn't like I should meditate, right? So I think that's a piece of that joy as well, even though I'm not saying you should go out and eat an ice cream cone, you know, three times a day or whatever. But I do think that when you're really tapped in, the answers aren't always something that look like the way we think answers are supposed to be for people who are tapped in, right?
I totally agree. It's very much an individual thing. You know, I have different things that I will do on a regular basis that help keep me regulated. And then a whole other list of things that are more in the moment and, you know, and those change. I mean, I was an avid journaler and now I'm not doing it much. And that's okay. You know, just because it worked really well at a certain time, I don't need to carry on doing it if it doesn't feel right. So it is very much an individual thing, what feels right. I absolutely agree.
Yeah. I was thinking about how I have a lot of energy tools, right? Because my background in the beginning of me starting on the journey of self-discovery here, I became a quantum biofeedback specialist. And so the relationship between the body and the energy that we really can't see it. It's around us, but we can't see it, but we have evidence of it. And working with those energies, I find to be extremely powerful, both, you know, as they say, prophylactically and in the moment. And I think that a lot of times, you know, finding ways to do an energy routine or to have a go-to that is something you go like you said, with the shaking the hands, right? This is my thing. I know that if I do this thing, something will shift. And then I'm able to tap into myself and ask the questions about what do I want to do and get an answer.
Yeah, because sometimes in the moment when we're completely, you know, blown, shall we say, you know, we're, you know, box breathing or something like that is not going to be our go-to. It's got, you know, and it might be some people's go-to, but it's definitely not mine. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You're absolutely
mine either.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is a lovely conversation. So, but I want to ask a little bit more, and we're going a little longer than we usually do, but I think our audience will forgive us because I think it's a fascinating conversation. And also I want to talk a little bit about, you know, your website is very much about joy. My website is very much about joy. And so what we're talking about is reaching for a very high level emotion. It isn't about contentment. You didn't write on your thing, I'm going to be satisfied, right? We talked about like, we're going to really get there. We're going to get to actually happy. We're going to course the chemicals through our bodies that feel joy, and we're going to enjoy that. So can I ask, was there a moment for you where you went from, right? Because people go through therapy and it's a long journey and we don't usually start out happy. So you get to a point where you're like, yeah, no, everything's good. Everything's pretty good. And what was the moment for you that went from, I'm willing to accept things being pretty good, to no, I'm not willing to accept them being pretty good. I really want all of the goodness to come to me in my life. I really want the full feeling of joy.
Whilst I was going through therapy, somebody told me about, I love a quote that, you know, speaks to me. And one quote that somebody said to me whilst I was going through therapy was, I am not what happened to me. I am what I choose to become. And that was like, really, this is not the joy moment. The joy moment is in the moment. But that really, really sat with me, that I have a choice. Actually, all this might have happened to me. All this has got me to where I am now. And yes, some of it was rubbish, but actually it has made me who I am today. And therapy helped me see much more who I am and see the worth in who I am. So that was kind of quite a nice place to be, really. And I decided I was leaving therapy. So I had a 3-month like out period of leaving therapy. So by the time I left, I really knew I was leaving. And then I delved into a lot more personal development books. I did read in a book, our job is to have a joyful life. And it was, you know, the ultimate permission slip, really. And that bit in me, that wise part in me, was like, there, you know, this is what I've been keeping you going through all this from. This is what we're here for. And it was really that moment that just made me go, okay, there is much more. I'm living not even half a life at the moment. So, you know, yeah, that was the moment.
So you made my mind go in so many different directions that I got too excited to speak. I think that the world becomes a better place when we're willing to say these things out loud. And for me, the ability to have some sort of a platform to be able to allow people like you to say these things out loud so that everyone can know that enlightenment can come in little bits and pieces, and where it leads can be truly joyous. That means the world to me. So thank you so much for being here to share all of that.
It's been a great joy to be here and talk about these things with you. I like reliving these things. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure. Now tell us, how can our audience get in touch with you? What do you have going on?
I have a website, which is safeandsupported.co.uk. That tells you a bit more about me. I'm a coach now, having given up my 27-year legal career. And I have a podcast called Meeting of Minds, where up until now, I've talked a lot about my journey and what I've learned, because I knew nothing about personal development 5 years ago. So the things that I've learned. And also I published a book last year. So I have a book called I See Me, and that's available on Amazon. And that's kind of the story of my life up till about 2 years ago.
Excellent. Excellent. That will all be linked on all of the platforms that this is available on. So please, as you're listening, as you're watching, take a minute to scroll down, look at the links, click through, check her out, check me out. As you guys know, joy is a real mission for me. And so joyousonpurpose.com is where you can go to delve in a little bit deeper into your own joy story, to get some questions that will help you to really figure out how does it feel to be in my life, and to do a little self-reflection. So if you have a few minutes, go to joyousonpurpose.com. You'll find a questionnaire there. You'll get to know yourself a little bit better. I'll get to know you a little bit better. It'll be very nice. Also, you can always reach me at my website at donnalyn.blog. And if you love this podcast, please consider giving to us. There's a buy me a cup of coffee link at the bottom. So if you want to get involved, right, you can listen, you can watch. We have another podcast as well that is linked below. You can check that podcast out. There's lots and lots you can do for free. And then, of course, there are services listed on my website that you could get involved with as well. So thank you. Thank you so much for being here today, Philippa. What a joy.
Absolutely, a pure joy.